Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for continuing to make this happen. John, how are you doing this week?
Hard to believe we're this far into January.
I know. Can you believe the days are clicking by? But still pretty mild out there. It's been a good real estate market weather-wise. Got a little chillier this week, but we are crazy busy with no snow and ice on the ground. I like it.
Very unusual.
So we always like to start off. We always like to start off with kind of our celebrity real estate story.
Oh boy!
And this one, I try to stay away from it on the show, but this one, you know, potentially if you want to use this as an evaluation, has some political consequences with the presidential race right now. So this week's celebrity real estate story is we're talking about Romney's New Hampshire lake house is kind of prompting some White House North speculation. So I thought it was interesting to note on somebody that we're considering as a presidential candidate, a very interesting property story. So he's no stranger to high-end real estate. He's got a home in Boston. He's got a California amazing home in La Jolla. And so he's got a lot of high-end homes, but it's his home in New Hampshire that's causing, you know, a lot of the talk. And what it is he's in New Hampshire. He's in Wolfboro, which is kind of bid as the oldest summer resort in America.
Wow.
Now, I thought what was interesting about is he has a house right on the lake, three-story, six-bedroom, 5,400 square feet on an 11-acre lot. Now, listen to this, though. Here's the key, which is crazy about this. Purchased for $3 million in 97. There was an adjoining parcel about 5 years ago that came up for sale. He bought that on the cheap, pretty much. And now the place is valued at, now this is opposite than most of these celebrity stories we run, at $10 million.
Oh, my.
In a span of basically 13 years. That's how much this lake community is appreciated. And they're even calling if, for instance, he went further in the political process, how much more valuable that piece of real estate could become.
Wow.
So very interesting to see somebody actually, one of the celebrities out there went the right direction with their property value. And I guess if I was picking, you know, if I was picking a candidate, I would hope they were making good real estate decisions. As I believe we've had some on the show that didn't make some of the greatest.
Well, irregardless of how you feel about him, he has had a successful record in business. You can say that. So,
and it is definitely extending into property there.
Wow.
So on a more serious real estate note, just some interesting thing to note. So maybe a lot of people didn't realize this, but it came out that FHA, what they are doing is they're extending what's called their flip waiver through this year. What that is there had been a rule in effect that if people got an FHA mortgage on a house, and they could not use an FHA mortgage to purchase a house that was being resold within 90 days of a previous acquisition. So that means basically if you had somebody buy a house, fix it up in 30 days, and then put it back on the market, you couldn't use an FHA mortgage to purchase that house, because what they were doing is it was called an anti-flip rule. They were trying to increase ownership and value that people had, as opposed to kind of encouraging investors.
Yeah.
Well, what happened, though, is as the property market has gone down so low, they had to suspend that rule because a lot of these homes were being purchased by investors, were legitimately being fixed up and then being resold, and that's what was happening. And to spur the housing market recovery, they had to say, okay, in instances where we can prove there's value and a legitimate increase in value, they were going to allow those loans. When FHA in some areas is used for 70-80% of the loans, it's important that consumers be able to purchase those houses.
Yeah.
And it's also good for investors that are buying and reselling quickly. That business model gets hampered a little bit if they have to extend it out a little bit.
Yeah, a little further.
They don't like carrying property for an extra 2 months or 3 months to wait to get outside of the guideline.
Yeah.
So that has been extended through 2012, and so that's good news for that. And we are now into the heart of the show today, what we're talking about. We have a new guest on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the studio today, and this is a subject I love to talk about and love to hear about. But we have Garrick Russell with us today. And Garrick, why don't you introduce everybody and tell us what you do and where you work?
Well, first off, thanks for inviting me. I appreciate being on the show. Lance has been I've known Lance for a long time, and it's nice to finally be on here and talk with everybody. Garrick Russell, I've been in the business for over 10 years. I came to town. I grew up in Richland. That's how I know Lance from way back. Little minor, you know, went to school at University of Washington, so was gone for a little while. But I had an opportunity to come back in April 2000, and my dad's a local CPA, and I had an opportunity to come back and work in the investment advisory field. And I came back, and the name of my firm is Professional Investment Management Services. We're over there on Clearwater. And that's basically, I'm an investment advisor.
That's what you do.
That's what I do. There we go.
And, you know, it's always nice when we have guests on the show. The majority of the guests that we have on the show and the people that I talk to are people that I use for my own personal stuff. And I can say that as a fact here with Garrick and what he does at Professional Investment Services. So I really appreciate having you on the show. I have that firsthand knowledge of what you do. It's interesting because the market's been so crazy over the last couple of years.
Yeah, the market has been crazy. It's been so volatile, and that's not going to change anytime soon. You know, last year in 2011, there was huge ups and huge downs. And what happens is you're going to have a lot more client interaction. Clients are going to call you more. The local radio station's going to call you for comments more.
Right.
There's people all over it, and everybody wants to talk to you. And it's nice because I'm a one-man firm. It's me, myself, and an assistant. And I like that because I get the pulse of the community a little bit, and I do my own work, and I see what's going on out there, and my job really is to help you navigate those markets because it's not easy. And on top of that, a lot of people do their own investments nowadays. So you're going to get, you know, now that people are more informed and more educated, there's going to be better questions to me. So it's nice, but it is more volatile, as you mentioned.
So the thing about it is, and one of the things that I really wanted to focus on today is kind of protecting your wealth. You know, that's what I hear a lot in my business. And the reason I wanted to have you on a real estate show is we talk a lot about protecting people's wealth in real estate. You know, having a home that is still worth that same amount, you know, or more, hopefully, in the future. What to do when they need to resell that home. But another big portion of that is the management of their money that goes along with that. And throughout these times, a lot of people have been wondering, and that's been on people's mind, is how, you know, a lot of people have been burned in the real estate market. You know, not so much locally here, but on a national level, you know, they've lost equity. They're upside down. They have negative equity in their houses. With the other side of the equation in their life and their money management side, how do people protect their wealth? What do you talk to people about as strategies to do that?
Well, I usually start with real simple things. It sounds silly, but usually the first place I would start is I would tell everybody to review their wills and trusts and that sort of thing, because a lot of times you'd be surprised how many ex-spouses and that sort of thing are on wills and beneficiaries that people have never changed. So I usually tell people to start there with maybe life insurance policies, wills, trusts, that sort of thing, because the first step is really to figure out what's out there and make sure that we're making the correct moves and make sure that if something happens to you, your money goes to the correct person. So I usually start there. The next step is, and this kind of brings in Mike a little bit, is there's always going to be a move that we can make that's going to be a little more effective than the next move, especially with financing of a house or something like that. And I think that's where me and Lance work together a lot of the time is somebody might say, well, how much do I put down? And usually I don't run off and answer that question. I like to refer off to a Mike or something like that because we need to figure out the best basically time value of money. Is it going to make sense? Is there going to be a tax deduction? Little things like that. So I really start with the basics and just make sure that everybody's at least started off on the same page.
Well, that's a great point, too. And we've had Jeremy Bishop in here from Roach Law talk about reviewing wills and trusts. He said he's not shocked. We were shocked at how many people don't have that in place, you know, but he says he runs into it all the time. And so he sees that type of stuff happening. So reviewing that, making sure it's set up correctly, with somebody that knows what they're doing in that field is a huge deal.
Yeah, it's usually it's a pretty easy thing to do. If somebody needs to change a beneficiary on, say, a life insurance policy, it's usually a simple phone call. I know half the time if I haven't heard of the company, I'll pull up a Google or a Yahoo, and I'll pull it up, and we'll get the company, and we'll fill out the form, and it's done. It's a quick process, but that's usually the first step that I ask as far as protecting assets. It's let's make sure that everything that's in place, everything that you've set up to protect these assets, let's make sure it's correct.
Yeah, no, that is a great, great point. And on the same time, on the real estate side, I mean, we run into that all the time. We have people, a lot of times what happens is people will come to me on the real estate side, and they'll say, you know, there'll be, say, maybe a divorce or a death or something like that that happens. And so many times I run into the fact where people might have continued to live in the house, and then when the second parent passes away, they don't go through the probate process. And so if things have not gone through the probate process, you know, we can't legally get that property sold and have a clear chain of title to where they can actually sell it. So when things haven't gone through that process, it makes it really difficult on my side. So really just taking those good steps. And he is dying to jump in here. We do have with us also in the studio, Mike Denslow of Wells Fargo. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, thanks, Lance. I just wanted to add my two cents on what Garrick was saying. And it goes to the down payment. And just, you know, somebody comes to you and says, okay, I'm thinking about putting 10% down, 15, 20% down. I have 20, but that will exhaust my resources. I just turn right back around and refer to their financial planner and say, hey, well, you can do this, and this is what you're going to pay, or you can do this, and this is what you're going to pay, but you might want to talk to your financial planner and, you know, make sure you have enough cushion to meet your goals and those things too. So it's a circle.
Yep, it definitely is, for sure. We are coming up again. It goes so quick. We get Garrick and Mike in here. I tell you, the first segment just flies by. We're coming up on our first hard break. After the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about Wells Fargo and lending with Mike, and we'll hear some more strategies from Garrick about helping protect your wealth.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update, and man, what a start to 2012 it's been. I mean, we've been flying. There's been offers flying around the office this week, and new properties listed and properties sold, and it's been absolutely fabulous. So we are here, though, talking a little bit about protecting some of those assets and what we can do to protect those. We also have with us Mike Denslow at Wells Fargo to give us a little update on the lending side of things. In fact, it was just yesterday I was on the phone with a client, and they called on a property that we had 2 days ago had sold it for multiple offers, and they're like, what do I do? And I'm like, well, you got to go talk to your lender so that the next time this call happens, you know, we can write an offer right away. So, Mike, what's happening in your world?
Well, my reminder for this week's show is, you know, being proactive. I had a friend of mine known for a long time, hadn't heard from him in a while. I got a call and said, well, I just had another child, and it's time for a bigger house. What do I need to do? And before he even contacted an agent, he gave me a call. I sent him three just basic estimates on different price ranges, and he was like, okay, good. Now what? I said, all right, now you need to bring in some paperwork to me. We're going to sit down. We'll go over everything in my office. You want to buy this price, this price, this price. This is how much your assets are. You know, this is how much you make per month. We went through everything, pulled credit, and ran through the whole pre-approval process. Took about 45 minutes to an hour with him yesterday, but now he is completely ready to go.
Yep.
You know, he's going to be able to go out and be confident and say, all right, I'm going to list my house. He's going to work with the agent and figure out what he's going to sell his house for, figure out what he can net, and then what he can put down on the next place. So he is, I mean, the perfect example of if you're thinking about listing and buying something new, get in. Let's go through all the options. Make sure you're comfortable with what that payment is. Make sure you're comfortable with what the down payment is. Rates, I've been saying it the last several weeks, we're still at historic lows. It's just unbelievable. It's such a great time to buy a place because you can buy so much more of a house than you, I mean, historically, you know, it's a really good time. So being proactive, if you're looking to buy, build, refinance, doesn't cost anything to give me a call. That number, 736-2621. Just give me a call. We can chat about it, set up an appointment, and go from there. But it just goes back to just having that conversation, figuring out what your goals are. Just like what you guys were talking earlier about on the wealth side, you got to have mortgage goals as well. And it fits right in with the rest of the conversation you guys are going to have on the show is where does that payment fit in? How much money is left over every month? How much of that can go to investments? How much of that can go to retirement? And, you know, just go from there.
Perfect. That sounds fabulous. Mike, we appreciate you coming in, as always, giving us that update on the lending side and what's going on. And, yeah, in fact, you gave that example, and you and I had talked about another one earlier in the week, somebody doing a new construction house. So, yeah, it's really, I mean, people are making decisions right now and deciding what to do for the year. If they do that on the investment side with the rest of their life and their money, I always definitely recommend that they talk to you, Garrick, and see what's going on there. But we talked a little bit about changes that happen. You and I usually get involved when there's a change. Somebody sells a big property, or they sell a farm, or they sell an investment house, and then they're wondering, what's the next best place to put that money? If they don't want the work of real estate, or they don't want some of the things that come along with real estate, then they're talking with you. And I know those big changes, those times of change, is when you really start to come in and say, okay, what can we do now at this time of change? And you talk about that and what people are willing and wanting to do.
Yeah, well, the first thing we do is we make sure that they're taking advantage of all the opportunities that are out there. There is a Roth IRA. There's a deductible IRA. There's 401k limits that actually went up again in 2012. I believe this year they were $17,000 is the max you can put in your 401k, and if you're over 50, you get a $5,500 catch-up. So I always break that down with people, because a lot of people do, if they sell a house, they do come into a lump sum of money, and a lot of times they don't realize that maybe they weren't taking max advantage of their 401k. Maybe they weren't maxing out their individual IRAs. So we usually start right there with the 401ks and that sort of thing. Make sure they're maxing everything out.
Okay, perfect. And that's the thing, too, is a lot of times I know things change. Like, I have people come to me sometimes, you know, in their 20s and 30s on the real estate side, and they say to me, okay, find me a fixer-upper, you know, just find me the best sweat equity fixer-upper, you know, and we find fixer-uppers, and then we flip those, and then they end up making some money, and then they get a little nicer property, and then a lot of times then finally it's, you know what, I've done this hard work here, now find me a brand new house that I can rent and still make it work, but I don't have to do as much work. So on the same side, on the real estate side, we find, you know, people's needs change as they get older, or their health changes. And so we're all the time evaluating, you know, what they're willing to do and wanting to do. And I know you do that with me on the money side a lot.
Yeah, we do it a little bit different, because what we're trying to do is, let's say somebody starts a 401k out at their work, and let's say they're 35 years old. Well, fast forward 15 years, and now they're 50 years old. And the biggest problem that I have to, you know, get across to clients is, you can't invest the same at 50 as that you did at 35. I know the market seems, you know, way up right now. Let's say the market was way up and we had a great 2011. You have to adjust your asset allocation accordingly. And that's the biggest thing that I see, is somebody comes in and they say, will you review my 401k? And people invest like they're a 30-year-old. And that's you talk about protecting your wealth. You mentioned that right off at the beginning of the show. Well, an easy way to protect your wealth is to make sure your asset allocation is correct. If you're 50 years old, you don't need to, you know, the old rule that we used to always go off of is you would take 100 and you would divide your age. So if you were 50, you would have 50% bonds and 50% stocks. Well, I don't think that rule works so much anymore. You still hear that rule around, but everybody is different. When is somebody going to retire? Are they going to retire at 65? Are they going to work till 70? You still have those people that want to retire early, and, you know, we will see those people, because with 401ks being around a while now, people have built up a lot of wealth. It just makes sure that you're controlling that vehicle the correct way.
Yeah, and the interesting thing that happens, and this is what I'll never forget about, you know, having those reviews and going over those reviews with you, that I thought was so interesting, is if you're not doing those annual reviews, your asset allocation changes sometimes based upon sectors. Like, I'll never forget going over this with you, and we put in, like, you know, we had like X percentage, you know, 20% in technology and 20% in oil and the differences of that. And then I remember there was a couple of years there where, you know, technology was so good and what we had put it in that 20% you had originally put it in, all of a sudden we were way out of whack.
Things are constantly
shifting. It had grown so much that now it was like 50-60%. We're like, and I was like, and you're like, well,
Whoa, wait a minute.
Whoa, you're out of balance now to maintain some of that safety and risk tolerance. We had to change those.
Yeah, this year that sector was healthcare. Healthcare, a lot of people won't believe this because they don't see it a lot of times in their 401k, but this year, a lot of the healthcare funds did near 10%. And when the rest of your assets are doing maybe flat, maybe even a little bit under, your healthcare is going to be a little off because it's going to have made 10% and everything else is going to be flat. So that's a perfect example. Now, the next trick is convincing somebody to sell an asset that just, or a portion of an asset that just made 10%. That's the next battle because they're going to want to sell the one that lost, but you can't, this isn't a downward step. You can't sell the loser and buy more of the winner when it's on top. That doesn't work. And that's a common mistake that a lot of people make.
No, wow. that makes a lot of sense. And unless you sit down and do these reviews with someone like Garrick and go over this stuff, you really just don't know. I think people always tell me sometimes, you don't know what you don't know. So you gotta get with somebody and find out how you can do that. I know as we get close here towards the end and wrapping up, I'm going to give Mike another chance to give his contact info and give us a little wrap up on the lending side.
Oh, thanks, Lance. Again, it's Mike Denslow, Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, 3311 West Clearwater in Kennewick, right next to the Department of Licensing. And my direct line at work is 736-2621. And as always, Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., Equal Housing Lender.
Perfect. Thanks, Mike.
And he's got it memorized.
He does. I know. He's getting good at it now that he's a regular. So he sounded professional. I think he's going to be cutting the national ones pretty soon for him.
Possible.
So just want to remind everybody out there that on that note with Mike as he wraps up and stuff there, that the interest rates are extremely low right now. There's a lot of movement in the market right now. As we kind of clicked over to the first of the year, there had definitely been some pent-up demand. We've been selling a lot of our listings a lot sooner in the year than we had anticipated, which makes for a lot of happy sellers. And so we really are off to kind of this huge shotgun start. As long as the weather holds out, interest rates hold out, we kind of have this perfect storm of this amazing start right now to 2012. So we're here busy working, kicking it off right. We want to welcome Garrick to the show and his insight. Thanks for taking so much time today and talking to us about protecting the other side of your wealth. You know, there's the real estate side, which a lot of times ends up being people's largest asset. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times if they sell or in my business make changes or downsize, then a chunk of that wealth sometimes needs to be transferred somewhere else. And that's why it's a great partnership. We appreciate having Garrick on the show to facilitate that. Garrick, what is the best number for people to get to your office and get a hold of you?
Yeah, 735-3000, and we're located on Clearwater, 7103 West Clearwater, Suite B as in boy.
Okay, just down from the old grain elevator.
Correct.
There. Okay, perfect. And so we appreciate Garrick being on the show and coming on as a sponsor, and we will enjoy hearing your insight as we go through the next 12 months, and hopefully you'll keep us on track and out of trouble.
Sounds great. Thanks for inviting.
And we will see everybody, as always, my cell phone, I am available, 727-8977. Mm-hmm. If you miss the numbers for these guys, you can go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot me a contact email, we'll get it over to you. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.